of the day is appeal number 064060, United States versus Lawrence Turner. Again, Mr. McGowan.
Thank you, Your Honors. Andrew McGowan on behalf of Lawrence Turner. Mr. Turner mailed a letter to the judge in this case before he was sentenced but after he changed his plea. In that letter, he alleged that his prior attorney had been ineffective. Unfortunately, the district court did not respond to this letter and seems to have slipped through the cracks. I've argued in my brief that there were substantial allegations in the letter enough for the district court to at least address the letter. And I will confess that one of my main concerns is that by the fact that this letter is in the record already and it hasn't been addressed and may have been, appears to have been abandoned, that he would not be able to raise these particular grounds of ineffective assistance of counsel in a 2255. And that's one of the reasons, the main reason I raised this. Of course, the government's brief, as I read it, concedes that the government would not argue that he waived this particular ground of ineffective assistance of counsel in a 2255.
I don't know that it's actually accurate to say that the district court ignored the letter. The district court appointed a new attorney.
Your Honor, actually,
that seems to be sufficiently responsive to the letter and the concerns that were being raised to have dealt with the problem. And if there was going to be a basis for withdrawing the guilty plea based on his complaints about his prior counsel, then it was up to new counsel to raise that, right?
That's why I would have liked the district court to have addressed it.
It's not the district court's obligation. He appoints a new lawyer. It's the lawyer's obligation to look at what's occurred before and see if there's anything else that needs to be done.
And, of course, in this record, it appears as though the new attorney did not know that this was in the record, or if he did, he didn't recognize it for what it was.
Well, he's talking to his client, right? I mean, there's
a letter to the district court that just shows basically a misconception of what people can do on appeal, and a misunderstanding of what the record shows.
There's never a hint here of withdrawing the guilty plea by the second lawyer.
That's true. However, the second lawyer's letter to the district court outlines that Mr. Turner has told him of his complaints and that, according to the attorney, he thought that those complaints had been waived and that they'd be better raised in an appeal. And I read from that that the attorney thought that those complaints had been raised before he changed his plea. And if so, they would have been waived by the guilty plea. However, the complaints were after the guilty plea. And to more fully answer your question, Judge Sykes, the sequence of events is he complains about his lawyer in two different letters. The judge grants his motion for a new attorney, and then he files this new letter, which acknowledges that he knows he's got a new lawyer, but he says he still wants to argue ineffective assistance of counsel. So on this sequence of events...
But he doesn't say he wants to withdraw his plea.
And no, he doesn't.
Without that, what... I mean, that's the stage they're at. He entered a guilty plea, and he doesn't want to challenge it. And there was no indication that he wanted to challenge it. So everything we have to look at, I think, goes forward, not backward.
Well, there is one indication in the record that he might have wanted to have changed his plea. It's not explicit. But Attorney Rosen sent a letter to the district court as part of his motion to withdraw, which indicated that he had talked to Mr. Turner, and Mr. Turner had indicated he wanted to go to trial with a new attorney. That's in the appendix that I've filed. Now, I read that to mean that he's again, this is a pro se pleading, essentially, a series of pro se pleadings. These are very hard to categorize because they're not written by a lawyer. But my reading of this record indicates that there's at least some indication that he wanted to go to trial, that he wanted to get out of his guilty plea, even though he didn't specifically ask for it.
There aren't too many people with 5K1 reductions who really want to go to trial.
There are very few. Of course, when he was requesting this, he didn't know he was going to actually get one, especially under the circumstances of this case where the government was obviously pretty perturbed with his attacks, essentially, on a witness. There's no way to soft-pedal what he did to that woman.
He never gave any hint during the sentencing hearing that he wanted to withdraw his plea, did he?
No, he did not. In fact, as the government points out, he did ask for mercy. And that's one of the reasons that I was concerned about this record, because, as I said, one of my main concerns is that he's not considered to have waived this particular ground, or the specific ground that I've addressed in here, because it's sort of out there. He did raise it, but it was pro se. And I just think it would be unfair under these circumstances to hold him to it if he files a later 2255 alleging ineffective assistance of counsel, and that's what I'm asking this court for help with. And with that, if there aren't no more questions, I'd like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Ms. Blackwood.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Elizabeth Blackwood. I'm an assistant United States attorney in the Eastern District of Wisconsin, and I was one of the two attorneys that handled this case at the trial level. I guess this is a case where you can say timing is everything. The defendant entered his guilty plea on March 10th of 05, and 9 months later, without a word from the defendant, the government brought the request for a conditions of detention hearing because of the defendant's misconduct. That misconduct hearing occurred 9 months later on December 8th, 2005, and it was after that, about 2 months after that, that the defendant began his series of letters complaining about his counsel at that level. The court responded by appointing new counsel in April of 06, and then sentencing occurred in November of 06. So, of course, it is noteworthy that during that entire length of time, there were no overtures whatsoever in terms of withdrawal of the guilty plea. It is correct that when the court received these letters of complaint, the court responded appropriately by appointing new counsel so that new counsel could talk to the defendant, see what the problems were, and address those if necessary. Successor counsel filed no motions to withdraw the guilty plea and instead filed a sentencing memorandum with the court with a handwritten letter from the defendant where the defendant admits that he's guilty and requests that the court be lenient with him. And then finally, at the sentencing hearing, the defendant again addressed the court at length. He admitted his guilt. He told the court that he was ready to pay his debt to society, and he pleaded with the court to show mercy. Again, nothing in the record whatsoever, no overture that could by any stretch of the imagination be construed as a desire to withdraw the guilty plea. And frankly, Your Honors, it's easy to see what happened here. In the beginning, the defendant basically gets caught red-handed. He decides to cooperate with the government to try to cut his losses. He pleads guilty with the intention of continuing his cooperation. But then he screws up big time. He ends up harassing his co-conspirator girlfriend, breaking windows, arranging to have a car set on fire. All of this is what he is orchestrating from behind bars. So he knows he's screwed up, and he's scared now because he thinks maybe he's not going to get any consideration at the time of sentencing. He knows that as a cooperator, his credibility is now seriously compromised. So it is these events and nothing else that causes him to start writing letters of complaint about his attorney. Your Honor, I suggest that this is certainly not. There is no grounds in the record to remand this case to the district court. There is nothing for the district court to do and nothing that the district court should have done. If the defendant's going to take the position that he was lied to by his attorney or that he was somehow improperly induced into pleading guilty or that he was somehow the victim of ineffective assistance of counsel, he'll have to show that by making a record in the context of a 2255 motion. This is not the place for it, and requiring the district court to, in effect, turn back the clock and go back to this letter that was written prior to sentencing would be inappropriate and groundless. And therefore, I ask that the court affirm the conviction in this case.
Anything more, Mr. McGowan? Okay, we'll take this case under advisement and proceed then to the final case.